Let me pray. Our Father God, we do thank you for your words. As our Sarah and Heather prayed for us, please do us good through it this morning. Help us to love you more dearly. I ask particularly for your help as I preach from the Bible, that I would not draw attention to myself, but draw attention to you, that you'd help me to speak rightly. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Friends, I'm going to read verses 1 to 12 for us. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honour at feasts, and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." We thank God over his good word this morning. Do as I say, not as I do. Do as I say, not as I do. Have you ever heard that? It's the saying of a hypocrite, someone who tells you to do something, but then does something different. Jessica and I were both shown to be hypocrites last week. We've given our boys, our little boys, very strict instructions about how cutlery is to be used. And one of our rules is that you must never lick your knife. It's a good rule. And yet Atticus caught each of us breaking it last week at different times. And he pointed it out to us. And you see, he saw that as I was licking the honey off my knife over by the sink, I was being a hypocrite. In today's passage, Jesus tells us about some hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees. They tell people to obey God's rules, but when they don't think anyone's watching, they can't be bothered to keep the rules themselves. And Jesus wants to show us what they are like, and he wants to warn us not to be like them. And so we've got four big points this morning, and I'll tell you them as we go along. Here is point number one, an easy one. The Pharisees are hypocrites. The Pharisees are hypocrites. So verses 1 to 4, this is, and we see the main problem of these scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders. It is religious hypocrisy. And it's not the first time that this has come up, is it? It's actually been a sort of theme of the last few chapters. When Jesus entered Jerusalem in chapter 21, he went straight to the temple. He turned over the tables and he called out the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. He went on then to tell a few parables in which he spoke against them. In one of them, comparing them to a son who was going to do something but didn't. The son who did not do the will of his father, even though he said he would. That's hypocrisy. In chapter 22, he was asked a series of questions by the religious leaders. In response, he called them hypocrites and went on to demonstrate that they seemed to love God's law, but they did not love God. And then in this chapter, we're only going to look at 12 verses of it today, but he calls those religious leaders hypocrites 6 more times, pronounces terrible judgment on their hypocrisy, and describes how much damage it does. If you sit down and read this corner of Matthew's gospel, the message is clear. Jesus makes a big deal of it. The religious leaders were hypocrites, and Jesus hates hypocrisy. He hates it, and he will not let it stand. And he speaks up so much about it here that we have to know that he wants us to pay attention. It is a terrible problem where you present one thing on the outside, but your heart tells a very different story. So look down at the text, Jesus in verse 1. He wasn't talking to the religious leaders actually anymore. He was talking to the crowds and to his disciples. Now, just clock that, because hypocrisy is just as much a temptation for us as it is for those leaders that he was describing. Just as much a temptation for ordinary followers of Jesus. And let's hear what Jesus then says. First of all, we get a little bit of a surprise maybe in verses 2 and 3. Have a look there. Because for all of his denouncement of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus actually starts off by saying that he still wants the crowds and the disciples to listen to them. Many of the things these leaders actually say are true. In a sense, Jesus says, verse 2, they sit on Moses' seat. They teach God's law. So when they say what is true, you must listen to them. You do follow these things when they teach them if it's something that's true from the word. You must be obedient to that. Which is a little thought for us, isn't it? Because we live in an age when lots of teachers of God's word are exposed as hypocrites. Well, the hypocrisy of the person doesn't stop God's word from being true. For instance, if it comes out that a pastor has been having an affair, it's a horrible thing to discover, and it's painful, and doubly so because it comes from someone who's told you that that stuff is wrong. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If that pastor has taught you good and true things from God's word, you must hold on to those things. If he has shown you salvation in the pages of the Bible, you must hold on to that, even though the man is a hypocrite. So crowds and disciples, Jesus says, you must listen to them. You must do what they tell you. But do not do what they do. Do what they say, but not what they do. At the end of verses 3 and 4, Jesus explains their fundamental problem. They are inconsistent. They say one thing and do another. They make much of the teaching of the law, and they're big on demanding that others keep the law, which they keep adding to, increasing the burden. But they don't make much effort themselves. They are hypocrites. They talk the talk. They talk like great upholders of God's law. And yet Jesus says they did not live like it. Look at the end of verse 3. They preach, but do not practice. You know, practice what you preach. So this is where that saying comes from. But the Pharisees did not practice what they preached. Prought feels like it ought to be a word, doesn't it? They did not practice what they preached. Now, that might be perhaps a bit of a surprise to us, as it probably would have been to Jesus's listeners then. In those days, the leaders would have been thought of as the most conservative, Bible-believing, holy, faithful people around. Now, they were held in great honour. To talk badly about them would have been shocking. We, maybe on the other hand, may have been taught that the scribes and the Pharisees are the bad guys, right? We know that when we hear about them in the pages of the gospel, we're supposed to go, boo. But do we have the wrong idea of what their sin was? Very often we think that their sin was that they were too precise about the law, nitpicking. You could almost argue that they cared too much about God's word. But Jesus actually says that was not their problem. He says they pretended to care a lot about the law, but they did not keep it themselves. They made everyone else follow very strict instructions, but they always found ways to wriggle out of it. They were all taught. The holiness was skin deep. And Jesus is respectful of their authority. He's even respectful of their teaching to a certain extent, as far as it conforms to the word of God, but their lives do simply not match up. They were hypocrites. They said one thing and did another. And friends, this is something that we must guard against. We must guard ourselves against hypocrisy. And instead, pursue the opposite, which, what would we call that? Perhaps Christian integrity. It means looking on the outside like you are on the inside. Integrity means not simply acting like you have a clean heart, but actually living in a way that flows from a heart cleaned by God. Practice what you preach. Do what I say and do what I do. If you are a member at Emmanuel, you know, live out those promises that you signed up to. Don't be a hypocrite, but practice what you preach, those commitments you made about holiness of life, of love for God's people, of devotion, personal devotion to the Lord. Live that out. It's not just a bit of paper that you sign without thinking about it. Signing up to be a member with no intention of fulfilling those commitments, well, it's the same type of spiritual problem that Jesus is describing in the Pharisees and the scribes. It's hypocrisy. But God loves it when we practice what we preach, but he hates hypocrisy. And well, Jesus tells us more about the religious leaders and their problem in verses 5-7. This is our second big point. But the Pharisees are show-offs. They are show-offs. Basically, their problem of hypocrisy seems to come from a desire to please people, not God. Their problem was pride. They wanted to look good to other people. And we read that these guys think it's all about status. And Jesus explains for us how that's true. First of all, look at verse 5. He says they made their phylacteries broad. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me. When I first read the word phylacteries, I thought it sounded like something you ought to go to the doctor to get checked out on a regular basis. But actually, phylacteries, they are little capsules with Bible verses stuffed inside them from the Old Testament. And they wore these phylacteries sort of tied onto their foreheads or their arms when they were praying. And the religious leaders, well, not content with a regular small phylactery like everyone else, they would make theirs big. They have wide leather straps, make sure everyone noticed that it was there, that they really did love God's word and hold it close. It's sort of like showing off about how big a study Bible you can bench press. And similarly with these fringes or tassels, it's a mark of being set apart as God's people in the Old Testament. But they sort of made it that the longer your tassels were, the holier you were. And people would walk past them and say, wow, they've got long tassels. They must be super holy. And Jesus says, he carries on, verse 6, they loved the place of honor. They liked those special seats at the banquet. Imagine sort of a religious ceremony, maybe a wedding or some other special occasion. There'd be a special reserved seat for the rabbi, and at the very last minute he'd come in, sort of cloaked, sweeping about, make a very dramatic entrance and be ushered up to that special seat at the front, and people would say, oh, you see, he's a holy man, and they've saved that special seat for him. And Jesus is saying, these people, they love that kind of thing, the attention, the honour. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say they love being greeted in public with these splendid titles. You know, someone would stop them, recognize them on the high street and say, "Oh, honored rabbi, how wonderful it is to see you. How marvelous to meet you. How brilliant your sermons are. I love your work. You are such an amazing guy. Oh, I could listen to you speak all day. It's so great even just to meet you and shake hands with you here." And they love that kind of treatment. And Jesus says that they are man pleasers. Verse 5, they do their actions to be, they do their deeds to be seen by others. Their actions are all about wanting to be loved by other people and not about loving God. And friends, we live in an age which cares a lot more about appearances than it does about reality. We live in the age of Instagram, where it is so important that it looks like our lives are amazing. But it's maybe less important what our lives are actually like. Now, we live in an age where every political decision is made, not for the good of the country, but that the country would think good of politicians. We live in an age of man-pleasing. We live in an age of hypocrisy. And Jesus says to us, don't be like that in your relationship with God. Don't try and spin reality. Don't fake your relationship with him. Don't care more about what other people think of you than you do about what your heavenly Father thinks of you. Don't turn up to church because you're worried about other people noting your absence. Don't read your Bible simply so that you can say you read your Bible. Don't pray in church meetings so that other people can see what a keen Christian you are. And what I mean is, do those things, but do them because you love God, not because you're trying to win the hearts of other people. We must hear Jesus's criticism of the religious leaders here and take it as a warning not to be the same. Well, what should we be like then? Well, the second half of this passage, Jesus goes on to tell us. Look at verses 8 to 10. Here's our third big point. Jesus says, Christian disciples, don't be like the Pharisees. We ought to care about God's honour, not our own honour. Don't be like the Pharisees. We ought to care more about God's honour than our own honour. There's a direct warning from Jesus to his disciples here, and he teaches that we shouldn't be like the Pharisees. We shouldn't seek status and honour like they do. And Jesus warns us not to wrongly exalt, lift up our Christian leaders. So look again at these titles, verses 7, 8, 9, 10. Do not be called teacher, for you only have one teacher. Do not be called father, for you only have one father. Do not be called instructor, because you only have one instructor. Now, we need to work hard here for a second and work out what Jesus is and isn't saying. We have to say, Jesus isn't saying that you can't call your dad father, or that you can't call someone who teaches you teacher, because the Bible uses those terms of normal Christians with relative frequency. He talks about mothers and fathers on earth. He talks about teachers of God's word. Jesus isn't banning us from using those words. The words are not the problem. It is the heart attitude that is the problem. So Jesus has just been talking about religious leaders who love to be exalted and honored with grand titles. And what Jesus is doing here is warning Christian disciples against giving their spiritual leaders big heads. Words are important, and we can use titles in a way that can be either helpful or very unhelpful, maybe even very dangerous. They can reflect what we expect people to think of us. or they can reflect maybe our idolatry, what we think of our Christian leaders. I do find it odd, given these verses, that our Catholic and our high Anglican friends insist on being called Father. But they are not the only ones tempted by the honour of a title. Now, Jesus is challenging our heart attitude, and he forbids Christian leaders from seeking honour, and he forbids Christian disciples from hero worshipping our spiritual leaders, because we have one true teacher, one true father, one true instructor. The best Christian pastor, the best Christian minister is the one who gets out of the way quickly, by which I mean will be one who opens up the word of God with you, with us, in such a way that it will leave you forgetting about them and leave you instead adoring Jesus. This warning is so important because religious leaders like the scribes and the Pharisees, they are tempted to seek the praise of those whom they serve. And I'd ask you, actually, please pray for us. Pray for me, pray for Andrew, pray for the elders, others who teach the Bible at Emmanuel. This is a real temptation. It is so easy to delight in being honoured by others, and so hard not to seek that when you're preaching on a Sunday. You know, even as I was writing these sentences in my sermon, I was aware that I was thinking, well, I hope that people recognise how humble I'm being and how much I want to point to Jesus. I hope people see that in me. And it's so hard not to be like that, to actually long for God's honour and not our own. And so please pray for us. That is what we would do. So, Christian leaders, we ought not to seek honour. Instead, this is our last point. In verses 11 and 12, Jesus' disciples, well, they need to be servants. Verses 11 and 12, Jesus' disciples need to be servants. So finally, in these last couple of verses, we've had the negative, don't be like the Pharisees. And now we get the positive. Verses 11 and 12, Jesus says that his disciples must be servants. His disciples must actively seek to be humble. It's the positive side of the equation. Don't be like the Pharisees. Do become servants of other people. We are to desire to serve others. And that it is a great weapon against hypocrisy, isn't it? To ask for God's help to serve instead of being served, placing ourselves below other people rather than above other people. I mean, Jesus finishes in verse 12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And what he means is that if you're a hypocrite, if your religion is empty, if you use following Jesus to bring yourself honor, you will be brought low. And we'll see some more of what actually he means by that next week. But if you follow Jesus into seeking the good of others, you will be exalted. The way to glory is servanthood. The way to the kingdom is via the cross. Now, that's been another theme of recent chapters in Matthew's gospel, hasn't it? You know, Jesus has said, whoever will be great among you must be a servant, just as he came, not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. hypocrisy and pride. It was the disease of the Pharisees and scribes, the religious leaders, but it's as much a temptation for Jesus's disciples, for us. And so he calls us to seek humility, to be servants of others. And so, as we finish this morning, we must finish with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Jesus, our great model, who showed us what it was to serve others. He came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, even giving up his life that others might live. He came even ready to face God's anger at sin, that the sins of others might be forgiven, that our sins might be forgiven. We are called to look at the service and humility of Jesus, and we're called to follow him, to be like him, to forsake honour and pursue servanthood. But we're also, and do listen to this, we are also called to trust him when we fail. And fail, we will. We are proud, and we are prone to seeking our own honour. But Jesus came to serve wonderfully people like us. And part of our casting off of religious hypocrisy is a willingness to humble ourselves before the Lord, to acknowledge to him our hypocrisy, our pride, our failure, to repent in our hearts, to seek his forgiveness and ask for his help to change. It's something the Pharisees wouldn't do. But we can, and we must. And he will answer, he will listen. And so this morning, yes, hear Jesus's warnings about hypocrisy and pride, but also remember Jesus, our servant, who will forgive us and restore us if we ask him, whose death for us means that we don't need to fear when we fail. We simply need to turn again and again and again to him, our great servant. And so I'm going to pray that now for us as we close. Our Father God, please help us to recognize hypocrisy and pride in ourselves. For that which we have been guilty, we ask that you would forgive us. Help us to see it. Help us to turn away from it and turn us to Jesus. Help us to trust in him. Help us to long to be served by him. And in his power, would you please change our hearts so that we care not for our own glory, but we care instead for yours, for his. Please would you work that in us. Would we grow in humility? Would we point more and more away from ourselves every day of our lives? And we ask it. Yes, for our good, but for your glory. Amen.